Okay, Brishus, all the Rabbanim, and a special thank you to Rabbi Reis for putting this beautiful event together tonight and including me, allowing me to share some words of Torah. It's an incredible zechus for me, and I commend each one of you to take advantage of this night, this evening, to turn it into a night of inspiration, hopefully a night full of Torah and Kedusha and Tahara. The Chazal teach us that the certain times of year when there's less learning going on in the world, so those who've decided to engage in learning, they have a greater chelek, a greater schar, because as we know, the Limud Torah holds up the world. So if there are less people learning, so those who are learning are holding the weight of the world on their shoulders even more so. And for that reason, they explain this greater schar. So a night like tonight where you've decided to learn and to be inspired, the schar is even greater. So I decided tonight to talk about sports a little bit, Demar Makomos, for those who don't have. But I want to break this into two different pieces here. One is a halachic discussion related to sports, and secondly, some machshava, some thoughts about sports and how it relates to our everyday life. Now, I'm going to begin with a Tosfos who quotes a Medrash, a fascinating Medrash. The Gemara in Sukkah describes an esog, that if an esog is shaped like a kadur, like a ball, and describing whether that's kosher or pasul. So Tosos is explaining what is a kadur. Now we of course know it's a ball, but he brings a medrash based on a pasuk in Koheles that says as follows. If you look in the first page here, Tosos says, Eso kikadur pasul, kalomer asoi kimin kadur shel or, the esog of its shape like a leather ball, like a basketball or maybe like a football, that the girls would play. Now, we have mostly the men, but now a lot more women's sports are coming into to play here. So back then, apparently, in the times of the Medrash, it was common that women would play sports. Kididarshinan, like the Medrash Darshins, based on the pasuk, divrei chachamim, the words of the chachamim, are kadarbanos, are like kadarbanos. What's kadarbanos? It's a strange word. So Medrash says, it's kadur shel banos. The word kadarbanos is the kador, a ball of the girls. So divrei chachamim are compared to a ball that girls play with. So what does that mean? Says the Medrash, continuing in Tosfos, shizorkos, zulazul, they throw the ball, they have catch, they play catch with each other. Kach divrei Torah nizrokin mipel, peso too. Torah is passed on from one person to the next, from Rebbe to Talmud, from Chavrusa to Chavrusa, Chaburas, Shiurim, conversations at the Shabbos meals, when you're traveling. Torah is meant to be thrown around back and forth, like a ball thrown back and forth. That's what the Medrash says, quotes Tosfos. So we see already that sports serves as a model to teach us something about Limud Torah. We don't view sports as just a mundane activity, but there's something actually we can learn. And the Medrash and Tosfos quotes, there's a message, an important message from playing sports that we can take and incorporate into our everyday life, in particular when it comes to Limud Torah. That we throw the Torah back and forth, we discuss the conversations, the questions, the answers, the thoughts. So that's what Tosfos writes. So I'm going to come back towards the end to explain this Medrash even further, but I want to now talk about sports in Halacha, and then we'll talk about sports in Machshava. So I know tonight, of course, we all know that there's a big football game going on, which is one of the most aggressive, violent, physical sports of the major sports in America. There are other sports that are also quite violent and physical. Hockey could turn quite violent. Rugby is a violent sport. And our kids play sports all the time as well. The football leagues here in the five towns. Maybe they're hockey leagues, I don't know. I guess they're hockey leagues also. Floor hockey, there's ice hockey. Basketball and all types of sports happen. There are injuries. That one person bumps into another person, hits the other one hard, and you get an injury. The guy breaks a bone, he needs some stitches. So the question is, let's say Reuven damages Shimon while they're playing sports. Now Shimon gets a big bill. He's taken to the hospital, taken to the doctor, he needs stitches, he needs a cast, he needs therapy. Could Shimon now take Reuven to Beis Din and say, Reuven, you owe me money? I have all these bills that because of you, Based on yesterday's Parsha Mishpatim, we learned all the halachas of Nezik and the responsibility that one has to pay for damages and injuries. Hachovel b'chaveiro, a person hits another person, there are five payments he has to pay. Nezek, the damage, tzar, the pain, report, the medical cost, boshes, embarrassment, sheves, he's out of work. So similarly, if they Reuven hits Shimon hard, they're playing game, they're playing, even if they're playing flag football, which is a little bit of a softer sport. My friend was telling me the other day his son came home from his flag football and had a huge scrape across his neck. It gets violent. So now could you take him to Beis Din and say, you owe me money? The doctor had to stitch me up. He had to put a cast on. There are five things you have to pay. So you'd imagine that he'd be responsible because there's a Mishnah that says, Adam mu'ar li'olam, that a person is mazik, he's considered mu'ar li'olam, he's always considered responsible. A person has to be careful of his arms and his hands and his legs and his body, because if he damages, Adam mu'ar li'olam, he's always ready, prepared to cause damage. And Adam's responsible. So if Reuven hits Shimon hard, even in the context of sports, football, hockey, basketball, you name it, seemingly he should pay for the damages, because Adam mu'ar li'olam. Now you're going to tell me, well, wait a second, it was accidental. If Reuven slugs Shimon across the face, okay, Reuven meant to injure him, and then he has to pay. But if Reuven was going for the ball and he accidentally bumps into him, I was once playing basketball back in YU, I was playing in the gym, and I did a little crossover, the guy missed the ball, but instead he hit me in the head, I had a gash over my head, blood dripping down, I needed stitches. So it happens, even when the guy wasn't trying to hurt me, but you know, you get damaged sometimes along the way. So that was shogeg, it was accidental. But still, nonetheless, the Mishnah says, Adam mu'ar li'olam afilu b'shogeg. Even if the damage is caused accidentally, afilu ba'onis, even if it's against his will. We'll see examples in a second. An Adam is mu'ar li'olam, a person must always pay for anything, any damage or injury that he causes. If you take a look now further on this first page here, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Nezikin, Sif Aleph there, in the main text, in the center. Aser lahazik mamon chaveiro, it's prohibited to damage someone's property. Vim hiziko, if he causes damage, ja'af al pi she'eino nehene. Even though Reuven didn't get any benefit from damaging Shimon's property, chayiv l'shalem nezik shalem, he needs to pay the full amount of damages, bein shehaya shogeg, bein shaya onus, whether it was accidental, even whether it was against his will. The Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, let's say Reuven's standing on top of a building, and wind came and blew him off the building, and he lands on somebody or something and causes damage, he's chayv to pay. It was onus. A tornado came and threw him off. You still have to pay. A person is always responsible for all damages. So right now, Reuven causes damage to Shimon during a sports game, during a basketball game, hockey game, or football game. It would seem to appear he's chayv to pay because Adam mu'ad li'olam. Let's jump to page number 3. A fascinating Tosfos based on the Mishnah Maseches Sukkah. If you look in the center of the Gemara here, the Daf Mem Hei and Sukkah, the Mishnah. The Mishnah is describing, you could find it inside, otherwise I'll explain outside, but if you look inside the center, the end of the Mishnah, it says the word miyad, but I'll say it outside, those who can't find it. I should have put brackets in, I apologize. But it says, miyad tinokos shomtin es lulaveim. The context here is, the mitzvah rava, which we call Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah, last day of Sukkot, we go around with Hoshanas, with the lulav and esog, we bang the Hoshanas. They're the similar procedure done in the base of Mikdash around the Mizbeach was called Mitzvahs Arava. After they celebrated dancing around the Mizbeach, the day was over, there's no need for Dal Minim anymore. So the Mishnah says, Miyad, from the hands of the Tinokos, from the children, Shomtin Es Lulaveim, the older people, would steal the Lulav from the children, and Ochlin Esrogim would eat the Esrogim of the children. They would steal, Mamish steal. How is that allowed? So take a look at Tosos. Tosos on the side writes, Miyat Tinokos Shomtin Lulaveim. Lulavei HaTinokos, says Tosos, this is quoting Rashi, Lulavei HaTinokos Shomtin HaGedolim Miyodan. The Gedolim would snatch from the hands of the children the lulav. V'ochlin esrogim and eat the esrogim shel tinokos of the little children. Isn't that gezela? They stole and they ate. They have to return the money. Says Tosos, quoting Rashi, v'ein b'davar gezel. That's not considered stealing. V'lo mishum darche shalom. Darche shalom is another sugi about stealing from a katan, but it's not a problem of stealing. Why? Shekach nogubo machma simcha. That's how they celebrated. Part of the simcha of mitzvah araba, part of the simcha of hoshana rabba, part of the simcha of sukkahs was to have a good time. You know, we steal the afikomen. So also you steal the esrogim and you eat them. That was part of the fun. That was allowed because simchas yamtiv, simchas mitzvah, allows you to steal. We have to understand that a little bit more in just a moment. Tosfos adds, the yesh lomod, mikam, you can learn from here, li'osan bachrim, sherochrin besusim, the certain bachrim would ride on horses, likras chasan, to go greet the chasan, v'nilchamim ze im ze, they would joust with each other. Sit on horses and joust. Little swords or whatever you call these things. Jousters, I don't know. They hit each other. They hit the horses. They do this as part of, you know, some people juggle. They would actually fight on horses in front of the chasam. As the Tosfos says. And in doing so, milchamim zem zeh, they'd be fighting the korin bigdol shel chaveiro. Sometimes they tear the other guy's suit. Oh, mikalkalo suso, maybe hurt the horse, poke the horse in the eye or stab it in the side, you'd be mazik, the other person's property, whether it's his clothing or whether it's his horse. So what's the din? We learn from this Mishnah, the Shehein Pturim, that just like the adults who would steal and eat the esrogim was allowed because of Simchas Yamtiv, so too, damaging when providing Simchas Chasim to Kala, they'd also be pater shekach nogu machmas simchas chasam. So fascinating. So you're allowed to injure. You're allowed to cause damage as long as there's a simchas mitzvah. That's what Tosfos says. Just like this mission. Now Tosfos does have another interpretation. I'll say this outside. The word miyad doesn't have to mean from the hands of. Miyad could also mean that immediately afterwards, the children would drop the lulav and esrog. They'd be mafkir it. And then the adults would pick it up and eat it. There was no stealing, no damaging. According to that understanding of Tosfos, there is no proof from here that one would be exempt from damages during a simchas mitzvah. So how do we paskin? Again, on one hand we have that simchas mitzvahs, there's a ptur of any damage that takes place. Or no, you don't have a ptur. Any damage caused even during a Simchas Chasam Ekala, even on Simchas Yantiv, one would still require paying. So if you look at page number 4 here, there's a Ramah, I'm not going to read this, but if those who want to look inside, the Ramah quotes this Tosfos and says, the Bachrim who ride the horses and cause damage during Simchas Chasam Ekala, the Ramah Paskins, one is pater because of the Simchas HaMitzvah. We have a similar example to this in Purim. If you look in page number 5, I'll say this outside again. Again, I apologize for not putting the proper brackets. I don't want to make you find it each time. But the top half of page number 5, the Ramah's talking about they would steal from each other on Purim. People would get drunk. They grab each other's food. One guy's waiting in line to get his steak. He sits down by the table. The guy next to him grabs the steak off his plate. He eats it for himself. That's gezeila. The Ramah writes, when it comes to Simchas Purim, it's not a problem. Ein lo mishum lo tzigzol v'nogu kach. There's no problem of gzela in the context of a simcha shel mitzvah. And he says the same thing in page number 6 when it comes to damaging. If a person's mazik, a guy gets so drunk and he breaks someone's chandelier or someone's wine glass or a table or a chair, the din is he's putter from Nezikin, because when there's a context of a Simchas Shel Mitzvah, there's a Ptur as it relates to Nezikin. So we have that from the Mishnah on Sukkah, when they ate the Esrogim. We have that from the jousting during Simchas Chasam Nekala. We have that now in Purim when it comes to stealing or damaging on Purim. So can we apply this Ptur now to the violent games, the football games, the injuries and whatnot? Can we apply one to the next? And seemingly we could not. Because the din would be, by Simchas Yantif, Simchas Purim, Simchas Chasam Vekala, many poskim say, why is there a Ptur? Why is that fair? Why is that fair that if I damage someone else, why should I be off the hook? Why should he be at a loss? So the way a number of poskim say is because had I known I'd be chayiv to pay damages while I'm celebrating a chasen v'kala, if I know I'm chayiv to pay damages if I'm celebrating Simchas Purim, I wouldn't celebrate it so much. I'd hold back. I'd be a little bit more timid. But I want to dance. I want to dance for the chasen v'kala. I want to make them happy. But if I know I'm going to be responsible, so then I'm not going to dance so much. So they created what's called hefker, bezdin hefker, that they say you're putter from damages in order to enable me, to empower me, and to encourage me to dance at the chasana, to dance at the Purim, to have a good time on Sukkot. But that only applies to a mitzvah. That if I damage in the context of a mitzvah, the simcha shemitzvah, am I putter? Comes to two guys playing football, basketball, hockey, there's no reason for them to encourage, to implement a tour of Nezikin when damage is caused. But there's another reason. And with this, we'll finish the halacha piece. If you take a look at the last page, page number 7. Here we have the very last sif on the page, sif hey. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Shnayim shenisavku yachad. You have two people wrestling with each other. This is a language that's used when Yaakov Avinu wrestled with the Sar Shel Esav. That there are two people wrestling with each other. Nisavku yachad. They're rolling around, tumbling, punching, hitting, headlocks. Ve'echad hippil chaveir la'aretz. One guy throws the other guy, body slams him onto the ground. V'nafal av, he falls on top of him. V'sima es eino. Rachman Letzlan causes him to go blind. Ruvain makes Shimon blind. He punches him in the eye, stabs him in the eye. They're wrestling. He's pater. Ruvain's pater for making him go blind. He's pater from all types of nezikin. Why? So there's a long sma here, which I'm not going to read, but the sma explains that when you step into that ring, at least in the case of the wrestling, I'm mochel, you're mochel, we understand it's dangerous. When you step into a boxing ring, you know that it's very likely there's going to be a lot of blood and injuries and damage. Both parties are mochel each other. When you step onto a football field, you understand that it's possible that someone might get injured, you might get injured, he might get injured. Everyone is mochel. Everyone forgoes the responsibility to collect. And for that reason, when it comes to any type of willingness to enter into a ring, a field, a court to play, you're putter from damages, even though adam muad li'olam, even though typically, when a person does cause damage, he's chayv to pay afilu b'shogig, afilu b'ones. When it comes to a mechila, where the guy allowed it to happen, and by stepping onto the court, field, or ring, whatever it might be, there's an implicit mechila, and one is putter from the nezikin. So that's ad kan, the halacha part, as it relates to sports. Now I want to go into some of the machshava of the sports and go back to that tosis that we started with. We began with this tosis in the beginning, who quoted this medjush, that just like balls get thrown back and forth to each other, so too Torah gets passed pel, one person to the next. There's a conversation, there's a dialogue. Rebbe to Talmud, chavrusas, chaburas, pilpul chaverim. Now the Medrash Rabbah has a slightly different take than how Tosas presents it. You don't have that in front of you, but I'll read this for you. The Medrash Shekoelis Rabbah writes that ma kadur ze miskader miyad liyad, that when you throw ball back and forth to each other, the eino nofelos la'aretz. Apparently, there are different types of games. Sometimes it's okay if the ball drops. Sometimes it's not okay. You know, volleyball, the ball's got to stay up in the air. Basketball, you dribble. Football, you want to stay in the air. Hockey's on the floor. So apparently, the game they're describing in the medrash is where the ball stayed up in the air. Let's think of volleyball or nukem, I guess. So you don't want the ball to drop. The eino nofelos la'aretz. So tu kach lo nafel davar echa. Don't let one iota of the Torah fall to the ground. The pashup shot here is, it's referring to, I think, referring to don't let any of the Torah that's been transmitted from Rebbe to Talmud to be forgotten. Every aspect of Divrei Torah should be preserved forever. I want to take a slightly different approach to this medrash. Maybe it's not only referring to every aspect of Torah itself, of the substance of Torah, but maybe it's referring to the actual Torah itself, chas v'shalom, falling on the floor. And maybe this is not pshat, this is a chassidish pshat, but I'm going to say it and elaborate on this anyways. Maybe it refers also to the individuals, the people who are learning Torah, not to let them fall on the floor, not to let them drop on the floor. What does that mean? So when it comes to sports, The Gemara tells us, it's a well-known Gemara, those who go to camp. The Gemara tells us in Ervin, Daf Samechem and Beis, that Amar Rabbi Eli, B'shlosha Dvarim Adam Nikar, there are three ways in which a person is understood, recognized, whether he's a Adam Hagun or not, whether he's a person who's appropriate or not appropriate. And there are three chafs. And in the camp, they say there's really a fourth chaf. But the Gemara says, Bekoso. How does the guy drink? How does he handle his liquor? How does he act at a perm suda? Is he able to hold his liquor? Could he control himself? Could he contain himself? That's one way you see how a person's real nature is what comes out when he drinks. Ubekiso, how does he use his money? Is he irresponsible? If he makes a lot of money, will he be irresponsible spending it on wasteful things? Bekiso, how does he use his money? Ubekaso, if he gets upset, is he able to restrain himself or not? These are the three major ways a person could test out one's, whether he's an Adam Nikar, whether he's an Adam Hagun or not. The Gemara adds, in camp we didn't know this, but the Gemara adds, Bishaka, how he plays, which in the camp with the Chaf is Kaduro, is the fourth Chaf. How does he play ball? What's his sportsmanship like? What language does he use? Does he yell at his teammates? Does he yell at the opponent? Does he yell at the ref? How does he or she play the sports? Is it done benachas? Is it done b'derech eretz b'schako, the Gemara says. How does he play? Does he play nicely? Does he play fairly? If a person, maybe if you're a coach for your child, how do you coach? Are you screaming at your children? You're screaming at the team? Are you screaming at the other team? Are you screaming at other parents? Or the ref? The ump? What's your sportsmanship like? What's the derech eretz? How are you treating the people who you're working with? How are you treating the people you're playing with? So one of the great lessons that we learn from the sports is, maybe you don't learn this lesson, but there are rules in sports of sportsmanship. It's been a while since I followed so much, but I know there's like a taunting rule. I don't know which, I think NFL has a taunting rule. I don't know if the NBA has a taunting rule, but if you score and you taunt the other player, I think there's a violation, a penalty. I don't know the details anymore, but there's a taunting rule. You're not allowed to taunt the other opponents. There's a certain level, now obviously, we have to get, hopefully, in our camps and leagues, we have much better sportsmanship than goes on in the typical NBA, NHL, NFL. But there are rules of playing nice. There is derech eretz, how to have proper sportsmanship. I remember a couple summers ago, my son was playing in the baseball league, and his coach called him up on the phone, and he called me up first. I want to tell Zevi, I'm very excited, I want to share something with him. So I said, put Zebby on the phone. He was the one, and he spoke to his coach. And he hung up the phone, and he like shrugged his shoulders. So he said, Zebby, what's wrong? He said, he gave me the sportsmanship award. I wanted the MVP award, not the sportsmanship award. So no one wants the sportsmanship award. That's like, you know, you did a nice job. Like, you tried hard. You didn't really do good. But the MS, we want a sportsmanship award. We want to play good and competitive, but you want the sportsmanship. You want to be good. You want to be nice also. You want to have the derech eretz here. The mice I saw, just in general, about sensitivity. Sensitivity when we, you know, we want to win. We want to do well. We want to do it well in work. We want to do well in sports. We want to do well. Whatever we do, we want to do the best we possibly could do. In learning, in the base medrash. But it has to be sensitivity. Derech Eretz in every regard. So if Schneer Cutler, the son of Aaron Cutler, so 1940, he escaped Europe, went to Eretz Israel to live with his grandparents. Mr. Zalman Meltzer was his grandfather. He was engaged in Europe. His Kala escaped to Shanghai, and he went there to Israel. And Shneur Cutler lived with his grandparents for 6 years. In 1946, so finally it was time for him to go to America, to his father. And his Kala also was going to go to America. They were going to meet and get married. So Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer is walking his grandson, who he spent 6 years living with. He lived on the third floor. And they walk down to the second floor. And then he says, okay, he gives him a hug and kiss, I assume, mazel tov, I love you, whatever words, and they left, went upstairs. So one of the family members, Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, asks him, why didn't you walk him all the way outside into the cab? Why'd you stop at the second floor? So he said, listen, in our neighborhood, there are many other grandparents who don't have their schneer, who lost grandchildren and children in the Holocaust. And if they were to see me hug and kiss my grandson as he's going down to the chuppah, it'd be very, very hard for them to see that. So I didn't want to make a public matter of this, but that's That's true sensitivity of a tzaddik. That's an extreme case of real sensitivity. But on our levels, to have sensitivity when it comes to playing sports, comes to all types of activities in the workforce, in the base medrash. So perhaps this lesson we can learn from playing sports properly, not to let a davar echad fall, not to let substance of Torah be forgotten, the Torah itself and the people who learn the Torah not to fall. You know, the base medrash is a wild place. From Akil, I got to see from Akil a couple weeks ago, Akil Cutler of Schneer's son, in Boynton Beach. And he shared with us once, while they were learning in BMG in the Lakewood, he noticed that the janitor of BMG was looking inside the base medrash through the window. It was a little strange. So Rav Malkiel goes outside and asks him, is everything okay? He says, yeah. I'm waiting for one guy to hit the other guy across the face. Either he's yelling, they're screaming, they're fighting, they're jumping, but no one's punching each other. He didn't understand. No, because there's a mechamta shel Torah, obviously. And it does get worked up, we yell, we scream, but it has to be balanced with Derech Eretz. The Gemara in Tanya says that Torah is ke'esh. Torah is like fire. It fires you up. It gets the juices going. You get excited, but you still have to be able to contain yourself. You have to balance the proper Derech Eretz. Even though you're excited, even though you're passionate about something, there has to be Derech Eretz. Just like in the court, you might be excited, you might be upset about a call against the ref, or the ump, the coach, whoever, the teammate, the opponent, but you have to have Derech Eretz in the end of the day. Don't offend anybody else, don't insult anyone else, and that's true and applies to the Torah as well. There are many, many Gemaras that talk about this concept. For example, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Bavel and Eretz Yisrael were very different how the Torah was learned there. In Bavel, they fought. In Eretz Yisrael, there were no chinzebzeh. They got along with each other. And for that reason, the Torah of Eretz Yisrael was much, much clearer from Eretz Yisrael because they got along. In Bavel, because of the fighting, all the machlokas, the Torah was not as clear. It was not as absolute in Bavel because of that. So there are many, many Gemaras about this. I'm not going to go at great length. I'll just share one Gemara at the end of Megillah about this. The Gemara says that Shnei Tamidi Chachamim Hayoshin Be'ir Achas. Two Tamidi Chachamim sitting in the same city. In Baruch Hashem, we have many, many Rabbanim in the same city, or one big city, a few cities with many, many. Ve'einochen Zeb Halach, and they don't engage each other, they don't get along with each other, they don't discuss Shilas together. If that's what happens, Alei Makasiv Omer, about such a person, it said, or people, it said, V'gam ani nasati lehem chukim lo tovim, I will give them bad chukim, bad mishpatim lo yuchi vehem. If you're not going to get along with each other, the base message is going to be il mechama, without any derech eretz, it's going to lead to these, what he describes as chukim lo tovim, mishpatim lo yuchi vehem. And perhaps that's the lesson. When it comes to learning, comes to everything in life, we're always going to be encountering people, whether it's the base medrash, whether it's on the basketball courts, the football field, whether it's in work, in shul, everywhere we're going to encounter people, but we have to recognize that these are people's neshamas, people who have feelings, and we have to be sensitive to all of that. So I finish off with an incredible ma'isa. I don't know how we're doing with timing, but I'm going to stop anyways after this ma'isa, if that's okay. So it's an incredible ma'isa. It's hard to believe this ma'isa, but it's about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And in his time, he supposedly had the most pieces of mail delivered to his house, more so than any other residence in the entire country. The mail every day piled up from here to there. And you would imagine it was quite difficult to open up every single envelope, read, and respond. So one time, one of his chassidim decided to buy a very nice gift, a very helpful gift, a useful gift for the Rebbe. He bought what's called an envelope opener. So he presented it to the Gabbai, and the Gabbai placed it on the Rebbe's desk one day. Rebbe walks in and says, what is this? What's this? What is this machine? He says, no, Rebbe, it's helpful. You see, you put the envelope in, opens up, and it's going to save you time. You'll save you. You won't get any paper cuts. It's going to be very, very helpful for you. You'll see. So he tried it. Uses it a few times and calls the Gabbai back in and says, I don't want it. It's not for me. So he says, why not? He says, it makes too much noise. It distracts me. Take it away. So the Gabbai took it away, gave it back to the donor. So the Rebbe says, thank you, but no thank you. It's too distracting to him. So the donor didn't give up at that point. He decided to look into some scientists, inventors, to fix the machine whereby it would be completely silent. So after spending a few bucks and finding the right guy, he was able to fix the machine, and now it made no more noise. He returns it back to the Gabbai. The Gabbai says, the Rebbe says he doesn't want it. No, it doesn't make any more noise. It's silent. So the guy puts it back to the desk. The Rebbe walks in. Plus it does. I told you to get rid of this. He said, no, Rebbe, it doesn't make any noise. He fixed it. Completely silent. The Rebbe says, let me explain something to you. The different types of people in this world, how they sign, how they rather seal the envelopes. Some people will, lick their finger. Some people will lick it directly. Some people may put their finger in water and seal the envelope. And then there's some people who use their tears to close the envelope. The Rebbe said, we don't know what this means, but the Rebbe said, when I open up the envelope with my finger, I know who uses their tears and who doesn't. I could sense the feeling. I could sense the pain. And this is a level that we can't comprehend, but the message is that in every aspect of life, it's important to have sensitivity in every person we encounter, every event we be part of. And then maybe that's a lesson, although maybe not Pashup Shah in the Medrash that tells us quotes, but maybe this is a lesson we could learn from sports. Just like we put all the emphasis that kids should have proper Derech Eretz and proper sportsmanship, we should also have that same Derech Eretz everywhere we go, both in Beis Medrash, out to the Beis Medrash, we should be Zoche, through the Derech Eretz, through the Avas Yisrael, we should be Zoche, to the Gula Shema Ba'amitas, and here we Amenu, Amen V'Amen.